You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
To look down and see so many new faces at Sunlife Church, I don't know whether this is the year where you say, look, I want to connect with God, a year where I want to reconnect and find this relationship with God. I want to encourage you that it doesn't take place on a Sunday, but it takes place on a Sunday and during the weekday as well. At Sunlife Church, we really believe it's all about discipleship. We really believe it's all about finding a small group to belong to and to do life with people. So I want to encourage you as your pastor that if you really want to connect with God, if you really want to have this wonderful experience with God's love, then this is a year where you've got to find a small group, a year where you've got to be plugged in, get to know people, have people praying for you, have people keeping you accountable, and just do life with people. I mean, Sunday is great. Don't get me wrong. I love Sunday. I love preaching. I love worshiping the Lord. It's great. But it's more than Sunday. Amen? So really great to have you all. And if this is your first time, we're in a series titled Summer Stories. It's where the preachers, in this case me this morning, we're going to share a message on lessons that we have learnt growing up. And I guess making a lot of mistakes, learning from them as we study Scripture, as we study the teaching of Jesus, how Jesus have changed us, how Jesus has helped us grow in our walk with Him. So this morning here, I have the joy to share with you my summer story, and it's on the topic of money. When I was much younger, probably 5 years ago, I was very ambitious. I was a very ambitious young man, and I wanted to get to business because a lot of people said to me that, Ben, you'll be a great business person. And I wanted to get into business because I thought that's where the money was. And I thought, yeah, that's what I'll be doing. In fact, when I was teaching in my first few years of teaching, some 25 years ago, if you know the IT boom, all the money was in IT. So I said to myself, I'm not going to teach, I'm going back to study. Went back and studied software engineering just to chase money. You know? Believe it or not, there was a period in my life when I don't know how, bad mistake, but there was a period when I had four investment properties. I just thought that, you know what, that's what I'll do. I'll just buy, chase after money, and then retire at a young age. Don't have to stress. Enjoy those wonderful COVID-free cruises, right? And decades later, I'm still in business. I'm in the business of selling the greatest product, the gospel. Amen. I get to share God's word. But it's strange how God has changed my life. And every now and then, I do dream of what would it look like if I were to go down that business path. Would I make more money? Would I stress less? I ask God, you know, why did you place me on this path? I mean, I would have done well in business. I would have made a lot of money, I think. And it's something that I still wrestle with today. But I must say to you, God has been so kind and God has been so good and so gracious that the thought of chasing after money is less often these days. And in fact, the hunger to chase and pursue money is no longer there. Hand on my heart, I am so blessed and I'm so glad that God would have changed my heart. I thought that God would never do that. And this morning I want to share with you my story. I want to share with you what God has done based on the teaching of Jesus Christ. On this idea of money, chasing after wealth. So what we'll do is we're going to look into the text like we always do at Sun Life Church. So you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we're going to take it from verses 13 onwards. Let me read the Word of God. Luke chapter 12, if you have your Bible, please turn it. Otherwise, the passage of study is on the screen behind me. Verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, the him here is Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appoint me a judge or an arbiter between you? Verse 15, then he said to them, watch out, guard your heart, Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possession. Let's stop there. Here's the context. Here's the context. There's an argument between two brothers. Most likely the younger brother came to Jesus and complained about the older brother. The younger brother wanted his share of the father's inheritance. Back then, usually what happens is you all live together. All right, there's no need to divide the inheritance, but for some reason, this particular younger brother said, I want my share. Maybe he wanted to move out. Maybe he wanted to start his own family. So he's saying, look, I want my share. And traditionally, back then, you would take these matters to the rabbis or the teachers of the law. Right? They would look in the scriptures, look at the Old Testament, and the dispute sorted there and then. So this brother said, Jesus, I want my share of my father's inheritance. And then Jesus makes this really strange comment. If you notice, he says, watch out. Be against all kinds of greed. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I thought the whole matter was inheritance. I thought it was just dividing inheritance. I mean, the younger brother didn't do anything wrong. He wanted his part of the inheritance. He's entitled to it. He wasn't asking for more. He just said, teacher, I want my part. But Jesus would take this opportunity to address the heart. He says, beware, be careful of all kinds of greed. I mean, I love the text. I love how our Jesus, he tackles the underlying root heart issue of greed. And then Jesus begins to share this parable. So we all know what a parable is. A parable is a story, an everyday story with a teaching to help people understand God's standards. So from verse 16, we see the parable. So let's go back to the text, verse 16. And then Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? There is no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones, and then I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said to this man, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then verse 21, and this is it, will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. That's the text of study for this morning. So let me pray and we'll get to work. All right, Father, I pray now, would you help me to expound your amazing word? And I pray that you would teach us how to live our days to bring glory to you with our money, with our wealth. So would you help me? Would you open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive your word? Holy Spirit, be our great teacher right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Are we ready? You know, I see two dangers and one hope in the text. Two dangers with money. Here's the first danger here, is that we have to be very, very careful if we are making money, whether you're working at McDonald's or you're working at a huge business firm, it doesn't matter. The danger, which is a real danger, is that money has the power to birth greed. That's the first danger. It has the power to birth greed, that you want more and you want more and you want more. You see, in the text here, this farmer here did not do anything wrong. All right? He wasn't a wicked farmer. He was a foolish farmer. See, in the text, it wasn't like the farmer in the parable did something illegal, injected steroids into his crop, I don't know, stole the farmer's next door property to grow his crop. No, no, no. He did everything right, and whatever he did right, there was an abundance. He knew what he was doing. You see, so for some of us here, listen carefully, you know, God has blessed you with that. Whatever you touch turns to money. For some of you here, I know for some of you here, you know, like, I know people, whether it's in this church or outside this church, they're so gifted. People who would know what shares to buy, what shares not to buy, when to buy the shares, when not to buy the shares. And if they buy the share, it's going to turn into money. I know of a friend of mine who's very good at starting up small businesses, who started a small business. After 2 years, he'll sell it off, make a bit of money, take the money, start another small business. A couple years, sell it off, make more money. And the cycle goes around and around. Very good. Whatever he touches makes money. I know people who buy properties. They know where to buy. They know which suburbs to buy. They buy it. In a few years' time, they sell it. They make money. And I want to say this, that there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. If you have the gift in making money, if you're very good, whatever you touch turns to gold, praise God for you. I would love to be your friend. All right? Praise God for you. And that's not a sin. That's not evil. But in the text, what we find out is that even though this man was making good money because he had this abundance, Jesus revealed his heart. We see that in verses 17 and 18. Let's go there. The man said he thought to himself, so this is a man speaking now, what shall I do? What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, what I'll do is I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and then I'll have more, right, to store my surplus grain. That's the problem right there. Can you see it? He's got this abundance. He's got a problem. What should I do with my problem? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my small barns. I'll build bigger ones. And then I'll store all my crops. And you know what? It's all greed, greed, greed. I want more. I need more. I dream of more grains. More is never enough. Money, if we're not careful, can birth greed. That's something, can I say to you right now as your pastor, I still struggle with. I'm not preaching this message as if I'm someone who don't struggle with greed and then I'm, you know, so close to Jesus. No, I still struggle with greed. Just during the week. I kid you not, I was at the bakery. I haven't shared my story yet and you're laughing already. Because you know what? You know where I'm going. I wanted that croissant. I wanted that croissant. And I told the girl behind the counter, I want that croissant. And she gave me the other croissant. She gave me the one to the left, not the one to the right. The one to the left was smaller than the one to the right. I wanted the one to the right. Yeah, I get an amen there. We still struggle. And I love the fact that when Jesus was teaching this lesson of greed to the brothers and the crowd, he was also speaking to you and I today. That if we are not careful, money, it can birth greed. There's nothing wrong with money. Okay? There's nothing wrong with money. It's that desire to want more, and more is never enough. And greed, that becomes an issue. In fact, the Apostle Paul once wrote to Timothy, and he said this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Will you go there with me? For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money. And some people, they're eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The text is very clear. Money is not evil. If whatever you touch turns into money, praise God. It's not evil. But the text would say it's the love of money. It's that greed. The money, I want more. And when you love money more than your family, when you want money more than your friends, when you want money more than yourself, when you want money more than God, that's a problem. That's a big problem. Greed is a trap. See, there's a myth that goes around. It goes a bit like this. This is the myth. If you have lots of money, if you make lots of money, if you work long hours and work after hours and accumulate on money, then you will be happy. That's a myth. Then you will be successful. You're respected in society. People look up to you. Work long hours. Then you're there. There's significance in your life. You'll find more joy. That's a myth. It's not true. It's a trap. I know of many people, I know of friends, I know of family who've lost everything because of the greed to pursue money. Everything. It's a trap. There's only one person who can give you all that you need. It's Jesus. He's the only person. He promised you a brighter future. He promised you security. He promised you this hope that the world and money can never offer to you. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money. And we have to be honest to ourselves. Because if God is speaking to you through me as we study the text, this is a great year to just release and just trust Jesus and say, look, I don't want to be someone who just thinks of money and pursue money. I want to think of you, Jesus, and pursue you. They say in Africa, there is this particular monkey, a very agile creature, very hard to catch. It's the ring-tailed monkey. Many people have tried to catch this monkey, but they're very fast. However, for the native Africans in Africa, they know how to catch this monkey. They've caught this monkey for many years with little ease. Like, all they do is they realize that this monkey loves a certain type of seed, melon seed. So what they do is they cut a hole in a melon, just big enough for the monkey to put his hand into the melon to grab as many seed as the monkey wants to grab. So here goes the monkey grabbing the seed. But there's a problem. As the monkey grabs the seed with his hand, his fist now is larger than the opening. He can't escape. He'll try to pull, he'll tug, he'll screech, he'll scream, he'll fight against the melon. And he'll do it for hours. And then the hunter will come around and just nab him. The only way for the monkey to escape is to let go of the seed. Money is a bit like that. If it's greed and we hold onto it, it's a trap. It's a trap that we can never escape. It's a dangerous trap. We have to learn to let go and trust in Jesus and let Jesus be our security. Let Jesus be our hope. Let Jesus be the one who takes care of us. Paul also says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:9, he says this, people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into the ruin and destruction. The word of God is very clear. We have to realize it's a real danger. Every one of us here, living in the Western world, money can birth into greed. Amen? That's the first danger. Here's the second danger I see in the text, is that if we're not careful, money has the power to become an idol. It has the power to become an idol. Look with me in verse 19. And I'll say to myself, this is the foolish farmer, oh, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, drink, eat, and be merry. You see, you notice in the text, right here, this farmer thought, yeah, I've got it all stored up. Okay? Now, I wanted to say this for one second, because I don't want to offend anyone here. There is nothing wrong with working hard, being smart with your money, and enjoying retirement. All right? There's nothing wrong with that. If you are enjoying your retirement right now because you've worked very hard and you've been wise with your money, all right? Praise God. Good on you. You deserve it. All right? That's not the point of the parable. All right? So please don't feel bad if you have worked hard, saved up, and now you're enjoying life. That's not the point of the parable. The point of the parable is this. If you look carefully, is that this rich man here, he was selfishly enjoying his riches without the thought of anyone else. It was all him. I want to show you in the text. What you notice is that six times in the text, in the passage here, he uses the word I. The Greek word ego, I. That's me. Five times he uses the word my. So that's 11 times in this particular passage where the rich, foolish person says, it's all me. It's my enjoyment, my, you know, property, my abundance, my life. It's all me, me, me. And Jesus is driving this point that when it's all you, it's never him. When it's all my inheritance, my abundance, my pleasure, my joy, there's no need for a God. And we all know what that is. When something is greater than God, when something is better than God, it's now an idol. Money has the power to become an idol. It's the one thing that you would always think about. So back to me when I was growing up, when I was, you know, in my early days, when I wanted to just pursue money, it was an idol. How do I know it was an idol? Because I always dreamt about it. When I would daydream into what life would be if I had a lot of money. It was all about me and my wealth, finding ways to make money. An idol is something that you always think about. When your mind drifts, it drifts to that particular place. If you love computer online games, and right now as I preach, and your mind is drifting there, that's an idol. Drift back here, please. Anywhere your mind drifts, that's an idol, because it's more important than God. And in the text here, the man was saying, oh me. Me and my possession and my wealth. There's no God. Beware. Money can become an idol. I love Tim Keller's definition of idolatry. He says this, an idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give. God can give you security. God can give you joy. God can give you a bright future. God can give you hope. Don't let anything be above of God. Because if it is, it becomes an idol. Money is okay. Wealth is fine. But when it's the one thing that we always think of, the one thing we think that if I have it, I take on significance. If I have it, there's meaning to my life. If I have it, I'm going to find joy. If I have it, there's going to be happiness. That's idolatry. And we've got to beware and we've got to step away and say, no, I don't want to be like that. The one person that you want is Jesus. He's the one where he's at the very top and everything is beneath him. And I want to encourage you that because this parable here applies to every one of us living in the Western world. Every one of us here, we're going to make money. Whether you're a young person studying, when you grow up and you're going to get a job, you'll be making money. Be careful of the danger of money. There's nothing wrong with money. Money is not evil. It's not sinful. It's not wicked. It's the fact that money, if you're not careful, can birth greed and can become an idol. And when that happens, that's very scary. And that's a trap that the world wants us to fall into. But what I want to do is I want to finish off with how we can be power over money. That how we can be its master. And that's my third point. So if you go with me now to the very end of the parable, in verse 20 and 21. But God said to this foolish man, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. That's the crux of the parable. You notice that? The crux is right here. There's two types of wealth. There's the one that pleases God, right? And the one that doesn't please God. There's two types. The one that doesn't please God is the one where it's all about me, and the one where it leads to greed and idolatry. That wealth does not please God. But then the parable says there's one that pleases God, and that's the one where it's towards God. It's directed towards God. Notice at the very end of that parable, there is a rich towards God. And I want you to understand that. If you have been blessed because you have worked hard and your business is going well, I want you to understand that there's two types of wealth. There's the one that pleases God and the one that displeases God. The one that is honoring to God and the one that's dishonoring to God. And you've got to ask yourself, where do you sit? And I pray that we all focus on this last point to my message here. That we can be mastering money, that we can be in control of money. So here are three things that we can do in this new year to master money. To have a lifestyle where it pleases God. To use our wealth towards God, just like in the parable, rich towards God. The first thing is to acknowledging the grace of God. Acknowledging the grace of God. Every abundance that we have, everything that comes your way, it's the grace of God. Must never forget that. Your career, God's grace. Your health, God's grace. Your marriage, God's grace. Your finances, God's grace. It's all from God. If you can acknowledge that, it's going to change how you live your days when it comes to wealth. Like when I give my children gifts, When I give them a gift on their birthday or on Christmas or whenever I want to give them a gift, I mean, I love to see my kids enjoy opening up their new toy or their new gadget or whatever it may be. I want them to enjoy it. I want them to experience and explore this new gift. But what I really want them is to see how much I love them. What I really want them is to know that their father and mother loves them a lot. That we give this to them so they can see our love for them. We must never forget the blesser within the blessing. We must never forget the greatest giver, God Himself. We must acknowledge that everything that we receive comes from God. So your wonderful business that's doing so well, it's the grace of God. The fact that you've got a roof over your head and you can eat well, that's the grace of God. And when you can acknowledge that, it's going to change how you view money. What does James say in James 1:17? Every good and perfect gift is from above. It's from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. How about Jesus? He said this in Matthew 7:11. If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Every good gift, everything that you receive, it's only by the grace of God. Acknowledge that. And when you acknowledge that, I guarantee you the next two things, very easy. When you cannot pass step one, step two and three, very, very hard. All right, so that's the first thing. If you want to live where your wealth is righteous, whether it's towards God, number one, just acknowledge that what you have comes from God. If you cannot pass this first step, step two and step three, very, very hard. Here's the second thing. Giving to those in need. Giving to those in need. You know, there are two types of people in this world. They're the takers and the givers. That's the reality. There's two types of people. The takers and the givers. Can I tell you a secret? The givers are the ones that make a difference. The givers are the one that makes a difference. If you want to make a difference with the life that God has given to you, learn to give, especially to the poor. God wants you and I to be channels of His love, His mercy, His grace, His kindness. He wants to use people like you and I to be channels of His love and grace and kindness and mercy to those who are in need. Did you know that? It's a biblical principle. Deuteronomy 15:7-8. If among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Paul would say this in Acts 20:35. Paul says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak. Remembering the words of our Lord Jesus Himself, He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's a biblical principle that we are to give to those in need. We are not to be like the foolish man here who took all his inheritance and his abundance and he indulged it on himself. Not like that. We are to give to those in need. You know, John Piper, I love John Piper, he once said this, just because you're on a six-figure income or salary, it doesn't mean you are to live a six-figure lifestyle. The more you have, you're blessed to give more. That's one of the best things that we can do. If our wealth is directed towards God, we should, number one, acknowledge it's the grace of God in giving it to us, and number two, giving to those in need. This community right here at Sun Life Church, I want it to be a generous, selfless, giving community. Maybe right now as you hear me preach, you're saying, well, Pastor, how can I exercise that faith? How can I give towards the needy? I'll tell you right now, why don't you sponsor a compassion child? In this church here, we sponsor over 100 children from the Philippines. And I still have the desire to go over the Philippines with a group of Sun Lifers to see our children. But that's a great way. There are so many children around the world who are struggling, living in poverty. And God is using people like you and I to be a channel of His love and kindness. We can give in that area there. Or how about the local missionaries? There's a lot of local missionaries in this church. Do you know that? We've got people studying work at YWAM, Power to Change. You find them in our church. Pray with them. Ask them, how can I support you? Can I be someone that supports you with what you do? Or maybe there are other organizations outside our church helping the teenage pregnant mums or youth out there struggling. Find those organizations. Speak to myself and give to those in need. Or what about the students in our church? We've got a lot of students studying in our church here. A lot of them are struggling. Their diet's all mi-goreng, right? Bless them. Find who they are. Give them a fuel voucher. Give them a Coles My voucher. Just be a channel of God's kindness. Give to those in need. I love John Wesley. He says this: you should earn as much as you can. I like that. Save as much as you can. Or give as much as you can. Give to those needing. Finally, stewarding God's money well. All right, now to take care of God's money, realize, number one, is that everything is God's grace. So your finance, your money actually belongs to the Lord. It's the Lord's. Steward, manage God's money well. Think about that. When you steward someone's property, it's not yours. You're taking care of it. All right? Imagine you had a very wealthy friend who's got a beautiful house, holiday home down in Dunsborough or Eagle Bay, and you know it's costing you an arm and a leg to go and find a place down there. But the friend says, hey, you know what? You can take my holiday home right next to the beach. Free of charge. Come on, would you say no? I think there'll be rocks in your head if you say no. You say yes. And after your week or month or whatever length of stay, you're not going to leave the place a mess. You're going to make sure you tidy it up. You're going to take care of it because you know that property is not yours. You've been blessed to use it. You want to care for that property. It's the same with our finances. Yeah? If you know that your money is not yours, it's the Lord's, steward it well. Use it well. Let me give you three quick things you can do. To use it well, number one, get out of debt. Get out of debt. Because a Christian that is in debt doesn't portray an almighty God. If that is you, find ways to get out of the debt. Speak to someone. Get a financial planner. Get into a budget. Start saving so you can get out of the debt. That's one of the best ways. Because if you are in debt, then you are not stewarding, managing God's money well. Amen? Number two, be wise what you buy. Just be wise. Just because it's on sale, it doesn't mean you have to buy it. You know? Just because your friends got it, it doesn't mean you must have it. Unfollow certain people on social media who keeps buying things. Unfollow those shops that keeps popping up those ads. You need this. 75% off. Buy one, get one free. It's all a trap. Be wise with what you buy. And number three, start tithing. The discipline of tithing. Put aside an amount. At Sun Life Church, we never talk about a percentage. We're not a church that says you've got to give 10%. No, no, no. You give what the Lord places in your heart, but you give cheerfully. You give regularly. You give sacrificially. Because if it doesn't matter to you, it doesn't matter to God. And whatever the amount is, no one needs to know. It's between you and the Lord. But the discipline of tithing is one of the best ways of managing God's money well. Let me read you what Jesus once said in Matthew 6:19. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't be like me, pursuing money. That's all I can think of every day, because the danger is that it can birth greed. It can become an idol. But we, as followers of Christ, we are called to be its master. Yeah? We are to make sure that our wealth is a righteous wealth, not an unrighteous wealth. An unrighteous wealth is all about me. It leads to more and more, leads to greed, it becomes an idol. A righteous wealth is rich towards God. It's about being wise with our money. Amen? Acknowledging that everything comes from God. Yeah? Giving to those in need, because it's a biblical principle. Yeah? Stewarding God's money well. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's the Lord's. And whatever He gives us, let's steward well. Amen? So that's my summer story. And I really hope that you took something home. And whatever God's been saying to you, don't just be hearers of the Word of God. Be doers of the Word of God. Make those changes this week. May this year be a year where all our money, all our wealth is one that is righteous, one where the rich is towards the Lord. And God will not say to us, "Oh, you foolish rich person," but God will say to us, "Oh, you wise rich person, you've done well." Amen? Let me pray for you.